WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu.
I will fight these injustices with every ounce of my strength and my spirit.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams Wednesday after a federal grand jury indicted him on charges that for now remain sealed.
If I'm charged, I know I am innocent. I will request an immediate trial so the New Yorkers can hear the truth.
Adams expected in court next week. Hurricane Helene still south of Tampa's Category 1 storm, blowing at 90 miles an hour now, but is expected to intensify rapidly into perhaps a Category 4 by the time it makes landfall in Florida's Big Bend region tonight. Alan Thompson pleaded guilty in Raleigh, North Carolina, to improperly storing a handgun that, say, authorities was found on his then 15-year-old son, Austin, after a mass shooting in 2022 that left five people dead. The judge sentenced the elder Thompson to 45 days suspended and a year unsupervised probation. This is ABC. Federal prosecutors made good on their promise to bring additional charges against the accused would-be assassin of Trump.
A new federal grand jury indictment now charges Ryan Ruth with attempted assassination of a presidential candidate. It carries a maximum penalty of life in prison. By random chance, the case has been assigned to Judge Eileen Cannon, the same judge who had been presiding over Trump's classified documents case until she dismissed it on constitutional grounds back in July. The same Justice Department that's appealing her ruling in that case is now pursuing the attempted assassination charge against Ruth.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy in Washington. Death by misadventure at Devil's Tower. Stuart Philip Porter of Eau Claire, Wisconsin, died Sunday while rappelling down the geological formation in Wyoming, leaving his unharmed partner stranded without a rope until rescuers got there. Porter's was the seventh climbing fatality in the 118-year history of the National Monument. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
Mino and the Mayor.
And if weight is the issue, now they're saying that it's the circumference of your, like,
stomach,
your belt.
Basically. Yeah. Your belt, yeah.
So,
yeah, which isn't great.
That's not good news.
I was over there today, you know.
Yeah.
The bigger your thigh, the healthier you are.
Yeah. Or, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's not good at all.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, Marathon County DA opens a criminal investigation into Wausau Mayor Doug Denny's moving of a voter drop box. Plus, Earl Ingram Jr. joins me in studio. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Summertime in September is going to continue right on through the rest of the week and the upcoming weekend. Today, sunny, 79 tonight, mostly clear, 52, near 80 tomorrow. And this trend will continue through the weekend with sunshine, upper 70s on Saturday and Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'll talk more about the American Stability Act, the transformational legislation that will protect and raise up the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Boy, our weather is mild compared to what they're preparing for along the Gulf Shore. Welcome in, everybody. It's a Thursday. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on the radio. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Yeah, it's the 26th day of September, and I'll tell you what, all kinds of folks boarding up along the Gulf course, they think that Hurricane Helene could bring catastrophic winds and storm surges to that area. We'll find out more about that situation when we talk to Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, in about 15 minutes. I guess the good news is, for us, beautiful weather. Today, sunshine and 80 degrees with calm winds. Tonight, down to 53. Tomorrow, sunshine 79. Saturday, sunshine and 77. Sunday, sunshine 78 degrees. That's great news for the 31st annual Harvest Fair that gets started at State Fair Park in West Allis tomorrow. We'll touch on some of the highlights you might want to look forward to there. Schwann's, now called Yellow. Anybody grow up with the Schwann's truck? It was one of the most welcome sights in my young childhood days. When that truck pulled in, you knew that there was probably an ice cream treat or something like that on the way. Well, they're shutting down. They're closing. And that's impacting some folks in Wisconsin. We'll try to get to that. If you buy organic milk, do you think that those dairy producers that make that organic milk are paid more? Well, there's something you need to know about organic anything. They're not traded in Chicago. The market prices that I give you on the farm show do not relate to organic. We'll see if we can't do a little deeper dive for you on that for this Thursday. And we're catching up with Bryce Windecker, one of the broker analysts with EverAg. He's out in New York State. We're going to try to find out why yesterday barrel cheese in Chicago dropped nearly 12 cents in a day. Oh, yeah, we got a full plate. Stick around.
The latest and the greatest in the global dairy industry comes to World Dairy Expo, October 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. This year, World Dairy Expo celebrates the golden age of dairying, just as sound and Technicolor technologies ushered in the golden age of film in Hollywood, so too have modern technologies propelled the global dairy industry. Learn more from around the world when you attend. For tickets, visit worlddairyexpo.com.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
November 5th, that's the date when the U.S. Department of Agriculture's new cattle ID rule takes effect. Starting November 5th, any time that you apply an official cattle ID tag, it'll need to have both a visual and an electronic component. These tags are known as 840 RFID tags. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. Tressa Lacey takes some time with us this morning to outline what the new rule means for Wisconsin producers. Tressa is the president of the Wisconsin Cattlemen's Association, and she raises a herd of Red Angus in Ryo. She says she understands why there's some pushback on electronic ID tags, whether it's because of cost or confidentiality. Tressa says these are issues that the National Cattlemen's Beef Association is working to alleviate, but she tells me that this change had to start somewhere if the industry is to stay ahead of potential disease outbreaks.
USDA is simply changing the technology from a metal bright tag to an updated EID tag. I think whenever we're talking about, you know, how this is going to affect a producer, some producers don't currently use an EID tag, and so that's an additional you know, identification that they're going to have to purchase for animals of that age. And from there, they probably aren't going to see a big difference in the usability, because with the current bright tags, you have to run an animal through the chute to be able to read those. It's not something that you can read without the animal being restrained. And if you're not going to, you know, invest in a wand, or a producer isn't going to invest in a wand, they're going to have to do the same thing. The EIDs are easier to read than the brights, and they are designed, you know, to last the life of the animal, whereas the bright tags get pretty crusty after a year or two out in the elements. So that is also advantageous, and I mean, that's one of the reasons for the changes. But the advantage is more so whenever we come down to trying to work through disease and traceability issues on a national level versus, you know, what the producer is going to see on their farm.
And we'll talk more about that in a minute, Tressa, but I want you to elaborate more on the difference between the current visual official ID tag and then the tag with the electronic component. You said you can read it with a wand. Tell me what usability looks like on the farm.
With the EID, I mean, it has a radio frequency identification, and so different operations actually use these all the time. I worked for one just a few years ago where we have a wand, which is 3 feet long, and you can just scan it across the animal, and it beeps, and then on your wand, it projects the animal's identification and any other information that you have saved with them. And so it's something that you can do, you know, just at the feed bunk. If your cattle are really docile, you could just go up to them, you know, out in the pasture and wand them, and you don't actually have to get them into a holding area. It also works pretty nice because if you just want to run a group of cattle, you know, through a working system, you don't have to catch every single one in the chute. You can just load them up in the alley, go down the line, scan everybody. It's very quick. And, I mean, it depends on the radiuses of, like, your wand, how close you can get. But, I mean, typically, you know, 3 feet. It's just a very efficient way to identify animals. You know, it's helpful with time, but also it's advantageous in different situations because you don't have to use a head chute.
Yeah.
Whereas with the bright tags, the animal has to be restrained because you're trying to read that on their ear.
It's going to come at a cost, but is there money available to help fund the change?
I think that that's still a little bit in the works of how that's all going to play out. I know NCBA has done a diligent effort to try to get some money funded for that. And Wisconsin Cattlemen's aligns with NCBA's approach of, you know, with this being a requirement for this to not be a cost that goes directly to the producer, but for the tax to be paid for by government funds.
And I should add that the State Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection does have a limited supply available of these 840 RFID tags to help producers offset costs. You can learn more about that at their website, datcap.wi.gov. The reason I bring up cost, Tressa, is because it is one of the reasons for some apprehension among producers and other groups regarding USDA's updated rule. Can you tell me what the environment looks like surrounding these electronic ID tags?
Yeah, so this has been a hot topic for the entire year of 2024. Whenever NCBA got all their affiliates together in January, we had a lot of, WCA received a lot of phone calls from producers in Wisconsin, not even necessarily Wisconsin Cattlemen members or NCBA members, but that's because we, as an industry, knew that NCBA was going to talk about what direction they were going to take the organization regarding identification. And so I've been talking about this for like the last 8 months, and there's a variety of concerns from the industry. I think one is everyone is always cautious whenever we're talking about more government oversight, and currently it's a little bit vague as to how many cattle a producer has and where they are, whereas knowing that they have a radio frequency identification, that makes people uncomfortable because they're not sure where that control of information stops. And then from there, you know, like I talked about earlier, it's cost to the producer. This is something that is coming from the top-down approach. And so the producer, you know, could naturally feel pigeonholed. You know, they're fighting in a difficult commodities market, and they aren't having as much, you know, margin as they used to. And so now this is an additional thing that's really making things more challenging. So that's a lot of the perspectives that are negative. In response to that, I think from Wisconsin Cattlemen's Association perspective, we also align with NCBA's approach of ensuring that the data is collected in a private third-party company. That way we have some control over how that data is used, but then also ensuring that this is not a cost to the producer since it is a requirement. And in turn, this is going to benefit the entire beef industry. We'd be remiss to think not if, but when we have a bovine animal disease outbreak, that there will not be major ramifications on our beef supply chain and our export markets. And so I appreciate the NCBA is looking at this from the whole nation and making sure that we're securing our beef supply chain, and we're not going to end up in a situation where we lose those export markets, because that's huge for us because of the quality of cattle that we make. We have to export a lot of that beef. They're doing this with the intention of protecting the livelihood of beef producers. And I mean, it's a delicate situation because it's change and people don't like change. But this is a way to get us caught up with some of the other industries in other countries. And in general, USDA is behind.
Well, and you just said it's not if, but when there is an animal disease outbreak.
I think everybody in the industry has been uncomfortable for over a year about foot and mouth disease. And we definitely don't want to go back to anything like the cow that stole Christmas. And so we're trying to be proactive as an industry. But I think we've got people who are driving that conversation. You know, NCBA is one of them. But as a whole, we all need to get on board and we need to be a part of figuring out what the solution is versus the problem is handed to us and we don't have a choice of how we respond.
Anything else, Tressa, that you wanted to touch on about USDA's updated rule that I haven't asked you yet?
I guess I just want to add that, you know, although I was talking about how the producer can use tags on farm and like with a wand, whenever we look at like bigger operations, whether we talk about like a feedlot or like a processing plant, those locations, some of them are equipped with a reader that like when the animal passes, it reads and identifies. And so that's where it even becomes less manual of if they're, you know, going down a specific alley that's going into an area, it can identify every animal that is passing that way versus also having to catch those animals and identify them with a visual tag. And so that's one of the great advantages of if we have producers doing this, we're going to have more of those types of facilities also having that technology. And that's just going to make us a lot more effective at identifying where animals came from and all the animals that they came in contact with if and when that disease outbreak happens.
Well, thank you for that point, Tressa, because I do want to know, is the beef supply chain ready for an electronic ID tag, the whole supply chain?
Not entirely, which is why there's a lot of concerns. I think our sale barns are one of the main areas that are concerned about how this is going to impact them, obviously, because, you know, they're going to be getting in animals that they basically have to take ownership of for a short period of time. And are they going to have to be putting the tags in if the producer doesn't? And then how is that going to work? And then even if they just have gathering stations where they're just bringing animals in from an area and then taking them across state lines to where their sale barn is, that's also posing an issue for their current operations. And so I think there are a variety of points throughout our supply chain that aren't ready for this yet. But that is part of the reason why whenever USDA released their new rule, they indicated that if a cow has already been tagged with a visual-only official ID tag prior to the rule's effective date, the producers were not required to apply the EID tag. So there's a little bit of give and take there of like, this is the direction we are going as an industry. So although this is the rule, there was a little bit of give time of, you know, responding to the rule, but we need to start somewhere.
Tressa Lacey, along with us, president of the Wisconsin Cattlemen's Association and a beef producer out of Ryo. She addresses some of the apprehension about USDA's updated electronic ID rule, not just at the farm level, but across the supply chain. In the end, though, she says the rule is meant to protect the industry in case of an animal disease outbreak. Starting November 5th, anytime you need to apply an official cattle ID tag, it will have to have both a visual and electronic component. The Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection has these details at datcap.wi.gov. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
From the Lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac Counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area and now Civic Media's new political editor.
Jane, I know you like to talk about our assembly speaker.
Popcorn King, yes, Robin Voss.
So there is a potential outcome with these new maps where Greta Neubauer is the assembly speaker and Robin Voss is the minority leader. How does that sound, Jane?
I feel like my birthday came early.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Coming up on our next show, author and blogger Sarah Connery is in to talk about her book, 100 Things to Do in Green Bay Before You Die.
And Ryan Rasmussen from the Oshkosh Area Community Pantry joins us to talk about changes with their program. Join us.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Man, I'll tell you, those yellow trucks, we just about went screaming towards them every time they pulled in. So we did have our way with Mom and Dad. Now found out that Schwann's is going to be closing by the end of the year. 79 Wisconsin workers going to lose their job. That is a bummer. They said it's all because we changed our habits in buying since the pandemic. Everybody buying online, doing stuff like that, DoorDash, knocking out our Schwann's truck, now known as Yellow.
Yeah, I saw the name changed. I haven't seen one of those trucks with a different name yet. But
yeah, I've seen the trucks quite a bit. I'll tell you what, that's going to be missed for a lot of farm kids. I'll tell you what, we're not missing. No problem with the weather. Harvest keeps rolling along, huh?
Yeah, it just keeps rolling along. The manure hauling taking off big time in my neighborhood in the last couple of days, and that's going to continue as well because fields stay dry. We're not adding a great deal of rain. We're not adding any big changes to the picture either. Has to do with the big high pressure system, of course, and then Helene. Helene's still out in the Gulf of Mexico, but pushing rain in. In fact, rain getting as close as Kentucky and Tennessee this morning and even pushing up into the Virginias. So we are seeing that rain try to push up the East Coast. It's going to try to build up toward our area, not successfully. So keep on with the sunshine, the mild temperatures. We may finally see a little of that activity try to edge in as we wrap up the weekend. I'll have those forecast details right after
this.
They
are my go-to for my tailgate. Yep. Bavaria Sausage, that's what I'm talking about. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke reminding you, check out their website, BavariaSausage.com, for all the flavor selections you can feature at your tailgate. They are going through an upgrade on that website, so keep checking back often. You can also find out more on their Facebook page. If you're in the Madison area, check out their retail location at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. That's where you'll find my Berkey Brats, one of my favorites. And remember, their store hours have expanded Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturdays, 9 until 1. Don't miss an opportunity with the weather that we've been given. Get out there and tailgate and enjoy it with your neighbors and impress them with the flavors that you select. Bavaria Sausage will get you on your way. Again, check back often because their website's going through updates, BavariaSausage.com or the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, and you tell them the Farm Babe sent you. All righty, Stu, let's have that forecast.
All right, some patchy fog this morning here and there, not so much by the lake, but further on into the state of Wisconsin. Sunny skies, though, will prevail today, and there will be a lot of upper 70s. There could be an 80 in the west, and the winds will become more northeast here at about 5. Overnight, more clear skies down in the low 50s, maybe an upper 40 in the north. East winds about 5. Could be a little fog early tomorrow. Again, a mostly sunny day, and into the upper 70s, maybe an 80 here or there with a northeast breeze. Sunny on Saturday, upper 70s, a lot of places, mid-70s further north with the northeast breeze. That slight rain chance, Pam, later Sunday in the southeast. And then a cool down into next week, about Tuesday or Wednesday, low 60s or even an upper 50 for a high.
Ooh, but we're going to stay dry during World Dairy Expo, you think?
There's a pretty good chance it stays drier. There may just be one little stray shower, but that's about it.
All right, so not so bad for a lot of folks that are going to experience Wisconsin weather perhaps for the first time.
Yeah, there are those, and then there are those of us who stood out during a snow flurry at that time.
Yes, that's right. We have that history. All right, buddy, we'll talk more about it tomorrow. See you then.
All right, see ya.
Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, bringing you your weather details. We started the conversation talking about Schwann's. Are you a Schwann's kid? Did the Schwann's truck come by your farm? Use our talk text line and let me know. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276.
This is the Midwest, where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. GOP challenges to state laws allowing the counting of properly postmarked mail ballots after the election takes on more significance when considering chronic U.S. Postal Service delays. U.S. election officials are worried. Trump-appointed U.S. Postmaster General Louis DeJoy announced consolidation of another 30 central sorting facilities earlier this year, of an expected 150 such closings. DeJoy has since delayed the closings until January 2025. But in a joint letter September 17th, the National Association of Secretaries of State and the National Association of State Election Directors pointed out lapses in USPS delivery standards. Quote, in nearly every state, local election officials are receiving timely postmarked ballots well after Election Day and well outside the 3 to 5 business days USPS claims as the first-class delivery standard. Other problems cited included poor training and a perceived lack of action from USPS management. A Kansas election official quoted in The Guardian noted ballots delivered on time but without postmarks, invalidating them under Kansas law. To criticism that the USPS is unprepared for the election, DeJoy told a reporter, they're wrong. Allowing 10 days for delivery and curing of any ballot problems will help make sure your vote counts. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
They're eating the pets.
J.D. Vance has said on the air that he admitted it was all a lie. Pat Kreitlow, words have consequences.
Of course they do. When we're talking about the incendiary remarks about immigrants, we're not talking about the fact that it was Donald Trump and Donald Trump alone who killed the bipartisan border security and immigration reform bill.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu.
I will fight these injustices with every ounce of my strength and my spirit.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams Wednesday after a federal grand jury indicted him on charges that for now remain sealed.
If I'm charged, I know I am innocent. I will request an immediate trial so the New Yorkers can hear the truth.
Adams expected in court next week. Hurricane Helene still south of Tampa's Category 1 storm, blowing at 90 miles an hour now, but is expected to intensify rapidly into perhaps a Category 4 by the time it makes landfall in Florida's Big Bend region tonight. Alan Thompson pleaded guilty in Raleigh, North Carolina, to improperly storing a handgun that, say, authorities was found on his then 15-year-old son, Austin, after a mass shooting in 2022 that left 5 people dead. The judge sentenced the elder Thompson to 45 days suspended and a year unsupervised probation. This is ABC.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An arrest this week in a long unsolved murder investigation in the La Crosse area. Jimmy Cuska reports.
Officials said 60-year-old Michael Pop of Toma is being held on a $1 million bail as the lone suspect in the 1985 death of Terry Dalloway. According to court documents, a DNA sample taken last year from Pop matches a sample that was collected during the 1985 autopsy. Dalloway was a 24-year-old UW lacrosse student who was found dead in Vernon County 4 days after going missing in 1985. I'm Jimmy Cuska.
A recent school shooting in Georgia appears to be inspiring a rash of school threats. The Attorney General's office says more than 130 school threats have been reported in 28 Wisconsin school districts in just 2 weeks. The state runs a Speak Up, Speak Out tip line where anyone can report an anonymous tip about a concerning comment or post. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers get ready for the border battle. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Green Bay plays Minnesota this week, and the big question is, will Jordan Love play? Coach Matt LaFleur says they are taking it one day at a time.
We have a plan every day. Obviously, that's dictated by our medical staff in terms of how much he can do. And, so we'll just hopefully keep building them up every day.
Kickoff is at noon on Sunday. The Milwaukee Brewers are officially the third seed in the National League. The Brewers' 2-1 loss to Pittsburgh last night and wins by both Los Angeles and Philadelphia means the Brewers will play in next week's wild card round. Freddy Peralta became the fourth Brewers pitcher to record 200 strikeouts in multiple seasons. The Brewers finish up with the Pirates today before taking on the Mets in a potential playoff preview this weekend. And the Milwaukee Bucks are making a, quote, major ownership announcement this morning. Bucks co-owner Jimmy Haslam will be speaking. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we're going to talk about the things on which we agree. I know they exist. Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot and Sports with Paul Noonan. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Summertime in September is going to continue right on through the rest of the week and the upcoming weekend. Today, sunny, 79 tonight, mostly clear, 52, near 80 tomorrow. And this trend will continue through the weekend with sunshine, upper 70s on Saturday and Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 50.
Here's to celebrating everyone's favorite time of year in Wisconsin with all our arty, fun-loving, foodie, feasting fall events. There's Kohler Food and Wine, Aaron's Art on Wheels at Road America, Red Cliff Cultural Days, Holy Hill Art and Craft Fair, and the Fests, Wassa's Ginseng Fest, Warren's Cranberry Fest, Bayfield Apple Fest, Milwaukee Film Fest. Whew, there's a whole lot of fall fun to be had in Wisconsin. Find more events at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
The Todd Alba Show.
Troy, our grand prize winner from that just a bit outside the movie Text to Win contest out in beautiful Mount Horeb.
You gotta go see this movie. You know, you'll laugh, you'll cry. I know that sounds cliche, but it's true.
It is.
The no narrator was perfect for this movie, and that's what made the movie. Yeah. Seeing the players in their own words telling these stories.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Mino and the mayor.
When I went up north a couple of weeks ago, and there was a line of about 14 people.
That guy should get a ticket.
Because everybody kept pulling out to try to see if you could pass.
Right. I mean, I feel bad when I'm flipping off these old people. I don't think that's nice.
Well, you shouldn't do that.
I know I shouldn't do that.
Next week's headline. Former Green Bay mayor gets tased from Michigan State Police. Details at 9.
Mino and the mayor. Weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WIS.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
With Pam Yonke.
Cheese price in Chicago yesterday lost almost 12 cents in a day. What in the world happened? What is going on? We're going to ask that question to Bryce Windecker. He's a broker analyst with EverAg. He's up milking cows in New York State this morning, but he'll take time to join us before the show is done. Welcome back, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report for this, the 26th day of September. Let's see, what can I share with you this morning? You know, we're talking about Hurricane Helene hitting the Gulf Coast. Well, on this day back in 1959, Typhoon Vera hit Japan. It was a Category 5 typhoon, strongest that they ever had on that island in recorded history. Marine landslides, damage that caused deaths to about 5,000 people in Japan. Typhoon Vera hits Japan on this day back in 1959. On this day back in 1949, the groundbreaking ceremony took place to build the Hollywood sign that you see in L.A., you know, up on the hills. Yep, they took down the old Hollywood Land sign and started reconstruction of the sign we now know as Hollywood. All started on this day back in 1949. Happy birthday to Linda Hamilton, known for her roles with Beauty and the Beast as well as Terminator. She turns 68 today. And tennis player Serena Williams. She is 43 years young. And now you know. Let's talk about the harvest season and what's going on in Wisconsin farm fields. You know, this beautiful dry weather has allowed our farmers to keep moving forward. But a breakdown will occur now and again and stop everything in their tracks. You know, right after the pandemic, trying to find parts, trying to find people that could help you fix that machinery, it was near impossible. Are things any better this harvest season? Ben Jarbo finds out.
One of the biggest questions during harvest season for farmers are if their dealers are going to be able to have the parts necessary to keep them in the field. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, here with Danielle Waterworth, the Vice President of the North American Ag Dealers and Customer Support for CNH, and she's going to explain what the trends in the part supply is looking like.
We are probably at a part availability performance that is at a high level. Probably we're talking about pre-COVID times. We haven't been at this improving of a position for quite some time, right? There was a few years of the whole COVID overload with the supply chain, and then we've been working over the last few years as an ag industry to improve that position. I think we finally have gotten to a place where we can say not only are the back orders at an all-time low capacity, but just the part availability of critical for function parts being where they need to be, we're in a really good position going into fall.
What has helped bring back this parts positions from COVID?
I think there's a normalization that needed to occur just get the industry back in shape, get people back ordering what the need is, and not so much, we called it back in the times of COVID, the toilet paper hoarding, right? So that normalization started to occur when the customers have an expectation of how long it's going to take to get a part, or if it's right there, even better. The dealers know how fast they need to be ordering inventory in order to have it stock on hand. And then take it back one more step to the OEMs that need to make sure that those facing depots for all of the dealers and then the regional aspect are all stocked at an appropriate level to be able to respond, like if it needed to be in a critical manner, that to be able to respond when need be. So that all has finally kind of, I would say, settled in the industry to a place where I think everybody's starting to see and feel that improvement in the parts availability.
Is there like a rough estimate on how much you guys think you're going to have to be able to provide for the farmers?
I just need to make sure that the dealers feel comfortable with what they're stocking, that we're looking at what you moved last year for harvest. Do you have suitable levels given that experience, right? So what we always look at from a what we talk to with the dealers as far as what they need to be stocking going into harvest is more looking at what did last season look like, where is your parts inventory position sitting now, and then working with those dealers on those parts plans.
Being no stranger to the agriculture world, Danielle Waterworth says that they feel they're prepared to supply farmers with the parts needed for this fall harvest season. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Corn rootworm is a ruthless pest, which is why Bayer is relentless in its innovation. SmartStax Pro with RNAi technology is here. With an RNAi-based mode of action unlike anything that's come before, plus two proven BT traits, it's innovation that equals the strongest biotech defense in medium to high corn rootworm pressure environments from Bayer. Talk to your seed dealer about defending like a pro with SmartStax Pro technology. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices. Copyright 2024 Bayer Group. All rights reserved.
The latest and the greatest in the global dairy industry comes to World Dairy Expo, October 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. This year, World Dairy Expo celebrates the golden age of dairying, just as sound and Technicolor technologies ushered in the golden age of film in Hollywood, so too have modern technologies propelled the global dairy industry. Learn more from around the world when you attend. For tickets, visit worlddairyexpo.com.
Beautiful weather on the way for Wisconsin. Sunshine today, 80 degrees or better are expected high. Tomorrow, sunshine and 79. Saturday, sunshine and 77. Sunday, sunshine, 78 degrees. Welcome back. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. So yesterday in Chicago, barrel cheese dropped 11¾ cents to 242¾. 40-pound block cheese was down a penny and a half, 217½, while AA butter dropped 4 to 286 a pound. Now, I give you those prices, but if you're an organic dairy farmer, they may not relate to the price you're being paid for your milk. A lot of consumers may not realize that the marketplace, Chicago Mercantile Exchange, for example, does not quote prices for organic dairy. Shauna Nelson can tell you all about it. She's the Executive Vice President of Membership with Organic Valley out of Lafarge, Wisconsin. And she says, right now, organic milk markets are disconnected from where most milk is traded.
Organic dairy products are really separate from what you're seeing on the conventional side. And so ultimately, supply and demand is really a factor there. And cooperatives like ours are the ones that are setting pay price with our farmers. You see farmers that are either having contracts directly with either brokers or buyers, and you also see cooperatives that are structured sort of like ours.
Shauna Nelson, Executive Vice President of Membership with Organic Valley out of Lafarge. She says organic milk not only doesn't have an open market like conventional milk does, she said it also doesn't really follow trends that conventional milk does. She said normally when kids go back to school, football starts, conventional milk will see a little uptick on price. But she says organic milk prices only follow some of that trend. The trend as far as corn and soybeans this morning is pretty quiet. Currently in Chicago, we've got December corn down a penny at 414. November soybeans up a penny right now at 1054. December wheat, that's down a penny at $5.88. The October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, down 6 right now, $23.39 a hundredweight. All right, I mentioned at the outset yesterday, barrel cheese dropped almost 12 cents in a day. What is going on? We're going to find out about it with New York dairy farmer and commodity analyst Bryce Windecker. He joins us on behalf of EverAg next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From I-43 to I-41. This is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert, the,
right?
Yeah, that was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like
right, lean left, straight. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
It's time to go for the green or gold with Civic Media's new text to win contest. When you go for the green or gold, you could win $100 cash, gold jewelry, and be entered to win our grand prize, 2 indoor club level seats to see the green and gold in Green Bay. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your chance to win in this statewide contest. Get ready to go for the greener gold with your local Civic Media radio station. The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump, on his Truthy Social platform, he wrote this, quote, "It was 3-on-1, but they were mentally challenged people against one person of extraordinary genius."
Real man of genius.
Here's to you, Orange Man. Losing by a whisker, then saying you won.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping? Your mind racing? So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, it's Thursday, so we give our popcorn pick of the week, and Emerson Lehman of the WBAY Morning Show drops by to talk about his Emmy nominations. Join me.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
I'm Yankee. This is the Midwest Farm Report. We're joined this morning by a dairy guy out in New York State, Bryce Windecker. Not only milks cows with his family, he's also a broker analyst with EverAg. Remember, you can find that risk management crew online, ever.ag. They're also going to be a big presence coming up next week at World Dairy Expo. Bryce, I've got to go to the number one story with a bullet, and literally, I mean a bullet. Holy man, dropped almost 12 cents yesterday on the barrel cheese price. What happened? What did I miss? Explain it for me, Lucy. I don't know what's going on.
The easiest thing to say, Pam, is high prices cure high prices. You know, a lot of these end users that buy cheese are buying on the previous month average. And now that we're getting ready to flip the month and the calendar to October, now they're going to have to buy off of the September cheese price, where this whole past month they've been buying off the August average. So when prices get this high, you know, it's the same thing as a dairyman. You know, corn gets to $8, they don't, you know, go contract a bunch, they just buy what they need. And you know, now we're starting to get towards the tail end of the holiday orders, and people say, yeah, I'm all set, that's too expensive for my budget, and things are pulling back a little bit now.
That's not just cheese. Butter has also seen a fall from grace.
Yes, it has. There's been a significant amount of butter fat increase as we've gotten out of the summer now, you know, heading through September here. And a couple of different states, milk production was actually less negative than expectations originally were. We were supposed to be minus a half a percent below last year, and we were only actually one-tenth below last year's average. So also got a lot of, you know, as you know, fluid milk bottlers back processing milk. And, you know, because of that extra butter fat, we've got so much more cream hanging around. And we were building butter inventory stocks right along, especially with all the major export orders we got on cheese, specifically mozzarella, and with cream being a direct byproduct of that mozzarella that just had that much more cream left around for us to churn. And that is definitely showing up now.
Mm-hmm. Bryce Windecker joining us. If you're along with us on the Midwest Farm Report, he's out in New York State. He's one of the broker analysts with EverAg. You can find him online again, ever.ag. So let's talk about other outside influences, Bryce. You mentioned we're kind of picking and choosing our way through what's going to be featured during the holidays. We've got football season helping out with some of that cheese. What about globally speaking? Dairy is part of the international marketplace. We've got to think about markets beyond our borders. Has anything been happening there?
Yeah, I mean, the EU dairy prices are making all-time highs. Butter is trading over $4 a pound in many of those major dairy trading country, dairy production countries. And then also we have China that just rolled out with a major stimulus aid package that is lowering interest rates and then giving a bunch of money to the central bank, as well as lowering interest rates. So that could definitely cause some buying of non-fat dry milk and dry whey powder. Their stocks are, global non-fat dry milk stocks are the lowest they've ever been. But the demand just hasn't been quite there because China's been missing from all of this. But you know, this is definitely one thing to watch. This could be the one ticket item if they do start to revive their economy. You know, watch out, end user, because that price could blow the top off.
Well, we'd love to have them come back in the marketplace, that's for sure. You know, one other thing that anybody's got to pay attention to, weather. We talk about Hurricane Helene here in the United States. South America wishes they could see some of that moisture, I understand. Are they any updates on what they're getting ready to plant? They're always just a little bit ahead of us.
Yeah, so they've got their soybean plant coming up here. They just started in their earliest regions that do have the longest growing season planting soybeans, but a lot of them have been delayed on that planting just because of how dry it is. You look at the soil moisture percentile chart and everything's red in the historically low area. You know, once again, I mean, this has been happening, you know, the last 4 or 5 years really, but then we got some good rain last year for them, and we're back right into the same boat again. And Argentina is also very dry as well. You know, it's actually a little bit surprising to see how the market cares so much about it right now, even before we're all harvested. But I do think we could see a suppression in those grain prices as we get really harvesting if yields are as good as they say they're going to be. But definitely something to watch. You know, I'm going to hit that, you know, China stimulus package again. You know, if that... China's been importing soybean orders on new crop pretty extensively since we have gotten cheap. And that's definitely helped keep support underneath that soybean price. So if they start coming back to the market and feeling really good about their economy, that could definitely, in addition to Brazil and Argentina being dry, you know, that could rally grain prices significantly from where we are now.
Well, now, Bryce, I mentioned at the outset that you're milking cows with your family out in New York State. What's the attitude like in New York? How are dairy farmers feeling out there? What has your fields, your yields been looking like?
Hey, we've got a beautiful crop. You know, the rest of the country better watch out because we're getting ready to flood it in grain and milk. We've got a number of dairy farms expanding because of all the new plant expansion. that's going on. You know, there's a lot of excitement in the dairy industry here, which is great. We've had good dry weather. I mean, it hasn't rained all September. We're just getting our first day of rain today, so everyone can take a break from chopping corn. But corn silage yields have been phenomenal. You know, there will be a bunch of cheap grain around for these dairymen to feed, and it'll be their turn instead of the grain guys' turn. You know, no offense to them. But, attitude's really good, and everyone's excited for these new plants that are coming.
Excellent. Wow. And what are the plants making? Cheese? Are they bottling, or what are they coming in for?
Yeah, so there's a Great Lakes cheese plant in Western New York. Cut and wrap cheese as well as the production manufacturing of it. Fairlife should have a plant ready in 2026 or 27, and that'll be the aseptic shelf stable milk. And then there's also a couple of ice cream plants, and then some more expansion into a little bit more fresh fluid production. So definitely a number, a plethora of products, but definitely a little bit more cheese. You know, I could see the class utilization to class three definitely increasing because of it.
All right. Well, Bryce, I appreciate it, buddy. Have a good morning. We'll catch up with you when you get back around, hopefully. And I'll see you at World Dairy Expo. Bryce Windecker joining us live this morning from New York State, part of the Ever Ag crew. Go to ever.ag if you want to look them up. See you tomorrow.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
The Second Amendment is designed to keep the power in this country with the people.
It's not the Second Amendment that preserves power in the people. It's elections, you moron. A dictator like Donald Trump that is a king and immune from prosecution, that is what erodes democracy. Kamala Harris and Uncle Tim Walz, they own guns. Nobody's coming for them. Chillax, Glenn. Get yourself some facts.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Why ag and forestry are good for conservation. Next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Without farms and forests, conservation programs would have a tough time making progress in this country. As Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation at the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Robert Bonney says regulatory approaches to conservation have their limitations.
We know that regulation typically does a pretty good job of stopping bad things from happening, but the fundamental question we're confronting when it comes to climate smart agriculture is how do we encourage producers to adopt new technologies, new innovations? How do we de-risk those things?
In fact, says Bonney, the how matters as much as the what.
There's actually broad agreement on the importance of conserving natural resources in agriculture and forestry. Talk to landowners, talk to producers, and they will tell you about their deep commitment. But the how matters a lot. How do we do it? If it feels dictated out of Washington, D.C., if it feels stifling, it feels regulatory heavy, it won't work.
Bonney says working lands like farms and managed forests can contribute to conservation efforts as well as public lands do.
If we're going to be successful in climate, we need U.S. agriculture and forestry, and we need them to stay in business and to be economically viable.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as our West Coast trip continues live from Los Angeles, California, Hermosa Beach. Kelly Call, former CBS executive and producer of Just a Bit Outside, joins us live.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
From the Lake Shore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you. And highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS. And the Civic Media app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston.